They just announced on the news that this guy Polhill, who was the terrorist, had cancer of the throat, and they've removed his voice box, and they're putting in an artificial voice box. It's sort of like, consciously or not, they're updating the consciousness of the population by using the terrorists, the guys who are the hostages, who attract all the attention, and they're probably all doubles anyway, and robotoids, and it's mankind hostages art form. Bye bye.
Brenner then realized what this particular radiation meant. It was not associated with any organ, but came from the mind and was independent of the physical condition of the patient. This was confirmed when Brunner checked back on the records of their patients. He found there was a distinct correlation between the radiation from their thumbs and apparent mental levels.
Show me your thumb if you're really dumb. Show me your thumb if you're dumb. Remember that? Pseudolures, 1976. And it all comes full circle, because remember, Salvador Dali used his mustache as a visual trademark, and of course Zappa hangs on to his little mustache in the same sort of way. It all goes round.
Hi, my favorite paragraph. You see, people shouldn't look at Bob too much. It's devastating. It distracts people because I'm very attractive physically, especially when I'm not wearing my glasses. So I have to wear glasses just to tone down the magnitude of Bob. That is great, Bob. I was laughing out loud. What a great article. I loved it. Thank you for giving me a copy. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
The French have just announced today that their high-speed train, the TGV, has just set a new world speed record of 500 and something kilometers per hour. And of course, today is May 18th.
Bobby. Boulanger. Sunday night. 2 till 7 in the morning. 88.1. I know you're up, and I know what you're doing, too. Get your hand off it, man. Gonna get warts. You know you have another outlet. Give me lots of that audio infiltration. Audio sex. That's what we need. We need more audio sex. Bobby's there with us. We're gonna be there tonight having audio sex. 2 till 7. And, we're hoping that your ears are there with us. Just give me a call sometime this week and we can chat. And I need another copy of Snot Magazine. So let me know where I can get another one, because lots of orders coming in, left and right. That's it, Bobby. Say goodnight.
Good night, Bobby.
Bob Marshall, it's Tom Rich. I just thought I'd say hello. I've just left Rome, and I've decided to get you on the private hotline phone on this jet that's been put at my disposal by Dr. Beter and his associates. I just want to tell you I'm on a flight from Rome to London, England, and it seems that the big news that my research has yielded is how Meech is a blow by the church in Rome against the Church of England. And I'll have more for you on that later, but you should tell your people about how the hidden ground to this whole Meech Lake fight is the renewal of the ancient conflict. Bye-bye.
Okay, Mike. Stop the tape.
Stop, yeah.
Okay. Ooh, Mike, are we doing that?
Yeah, your headphones are too high.
Okay, it changes every week. All right. Okay, Mike, big night. That message last was appropriate to something I failed to address 2 weeks ago. Subgenius asked me why I give public the 657-8040 number, but my private number is unlisted, unpublished, unavailable. Well, it's appropriate that message came in on my 657-8040 number. That's from one of my associates in the secret solar government level, and he actually called the wrong number, put a message for the unlisted number on this. So it works. George blew it. George told me. I don't mean he blew it, but he blew it open. So the mistake was just sitting there as the invisible ground. It surfaces within 2 weeks of him talking and raising the probe question. So the reason 657-8040 is public is that's Bob that every... Am I doing that?
Your headphones are too high. It might be yours. It might be our guest's headphones.
The reason 657-8040 is public is because Bob is everywhere. Everybody shares that electric discarnate state, and therefore you're welcome to use it. And also it's a sign of electric autonomy. Doesn't bother me if you leave messages on that machine. You want to say something, Mike?
No.
Okay, just breathing in with the level, the altitude, maintaining altitude.
Yeah.
The private number, that's strictly secret, so secret council 10 stuff. No way can that be talked about.
Okay.
But it is talked about in metaphor on this show. All right, now. Okay, now this is the pattern. We've been waiting for it, eh? It's all over the papers. Now, we know Gorby's working for me. We know, second point, that Gorby screws up the pink bureaucracy of every country he enters, right? So 1 week before he arrives on May Brussels' birthday, John Kennedy's birthday, May 29th, and John Hinckley's birthday as a symbolic assassin of the pink institution, the pink hierarchy, Gorbachev, a week before that on May 22nd, dig the number, May 22nd, evaporated Canada. He got his agent Bouchard to resign. It's over. Now, the amazing thing is that means Canada is, from 1867 to 1990, 122 years old. Just 6 weeks short of 123, 23, the old number, doesn't apply. Anton Wilson's number doesn't apply. 122 years is the age of Canada for the history books. It ended on May 22nd, and I'm sure the 22 factor is important coming from Russia. So Gorby sabotaged Canada a week before he arrived. That's the answer to the journalist's question, the musical question. Why did he do it before June 23rd? Why did he sabotage his buddy? I've maintained that Quebec is an agent for Gorbachev ever since the Bolsheviks were overthrown. Okay, Mike? Does that fill in the gaps?
So far,
yeah. Yeah, outlines the boundary.
Can I interject just for a moment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just a lot of good energy tonight, Bob. It's been whenever it feels like it's been longer than 2 weeks, I know that we're in for a good show, and it feels like it's been a long time since we've talked.
We feel pregnant.
Yes, very much so. But I wanted to mention that we are taping tonight's show for another radio station in California. Can I just mention that on
the
air? So just as a point of reference, that we're doing this tonight for Donald in California, and this is the Underground Radio Summit, okay?
Tonight is? Or
yes.
The show is... His show
his
is.
His show
that,
is, yeah.
Is that? What station is that?
I believe it's KKUP.
Oh, in L.A.?
Yeah.
Or no, that's up in Cupertino, San Jose, one of Dave Emery's shows.
Yeah.
Well, they like our show? They want it?
This is for a compilation tape of radio broadcasts from around the world. And
okay.
So he wanted me to tape a little sample, and this is it.
All right.
Okay.
So that means...
it has to be good tonight.
Me and the callers.
All of everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Okay, well, we got a lot of patterns and a bit of backlog. That first point was, of course, 657-804 is public and the other isn't. Tom Rich mixed up the lines, and you heard the kind of communication we get from the solar government level.
Good call tonight.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. The second... Sean's question, remember he asked, he suggested that the McLuhan quote in the Edbusters magazine was in the book Cultures Are Business. I checked it out. He was right. Page 42 is that quote that's used in Edbusters magazine, the McLuhan quote. Let's see. Big news again today, proving everything that I've said, you know, for a long time, is that Gorby's action in Eastern Europe and the whole world is basically a theatrical action scripted many years ago. The main outlines of that script given to us by Dr. Beter. Did you hear the news today? Vaclav Havel, president, I guess that's his name, his label, president of Czechoslovakia, announced that on November 17th, the spark that triggered off the Czech Revolution was the death of a student. And that's when hundreds of thousands of Czechs moved out into the streets and toppled the government within 10 days. You remember that, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
I remember you saying back then you couldn't believe what happened in Czechoslovakia. Well, listen to this. Havel announced today in a press report based on a press conference based on a government report. They've done research into how the heck did they get freed. They're trying to figure it out, too. And they found out that... Gorbachev, and this is in the official government report, Gorbachev had planned to overthrow the previous communist pink hierarchy in Czechoslovakia anyways and put in a more moderate grouping. Now, therefore, the KGB had infiltrated the secret police of Czechoslovakia and probably already controlled it, but they set up a design. And then the design was to have this student die in a demonstration. Turned out the student didn't die, that the student was a high-level operative in the KGB, and they planned to fake the death to stimulate the people through the electric environment there, get them all worked up with the emotion of multitude. So it came out today that on November 17th, the whole Czech Revolution was staged and triggered off by a fake operation. Now, Havel's saying that this is a prelude to a fact that it went further than the KGB wanted. But I'm telling Havel right now, and many Soviet people are listening tonight to my show here in Toronto, right? And we know why. I'm telling Havel now, no way did it go further than the KGB wanted. As a matter of fact, it's going to go further than Havel thinks it is right now. All right? So that was a government report of the solar theater fixing. And did you hear the memo today in the Ontario local news?
Yes. Yeah.
The media planning to, no, the government planning to use the media. Manipulate. Yeah.
Specifically the CBC.
You say it, Mike. You know this fact.
Well, just, I mean, very brief. I just heard a brief story. And report or press.
A government memo.
Leaked to the press. And it dealt with Meech Lake, that essentially it said the Liberal Party and Peterson specifically should manipulate the press.
By smearing the three holdouts.
Yeah, yeah.
Making Quebec look reasonable,
mm-hmm.
and that they could easily manipulate the media to do that.
Yeah, and especially they targeted the CBC. CKLN wasn't mentioned, nor was this show.
Well, so. we caused the leak.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course Nick Fillmore would appreciate that, right? He's been angry about Sunday morning since they booted him out. And a friend of mine told me they did a story on CBC just within the last week. It might have been TV, all about Pinochet in Chile, celebrating the value of Pinochet's management over the potential management of Allende, that mm-hmm. it was good that Allende was removed. Now, that's happening in the CBC. Ooh. Well, it's changed now that Gorby's here, right, under my guidance. Okay, the next item, another phone tonight, one of the phone messages which relate to our silent partner here, Ray Green's here again. Green Ray, his message, the thumb, the TV, and then the Zappa Dali link. Well, obviously comes to mind that Dali's wife's name was Gala, right? And Zappa's name is Gail. Very close, right? So it's further parallel structures there. This is important. We know that Gorby arrived on May Brussels' birthday. We know that he sabotaged Canada last week for larger operations, which I explained in my interview in Not Magazine that Canada was dead 20 years ago, but officially dead culturally too. Now it's dead with the basic dialectic of English and French Canada, right? That's gone. All right, they're free to go. It's interesting that the Gorbachev arrives last night. He meets with Mulroney today. And I was extensively harassed last night by calls from the various factions in Gorby's camp. You know, here they're here in Ottawa. And, man, they were on with me all night long. I might look a little tired tonight, but the energy's up anyways. When you're working hard, when you're with the slack, you can go for days without sleep, right? So the point is they're hassling me. They want to – there's a little factional division, especially with the Yeltsin thing happening in Moscow. So I told them, look, you guys keep bothering me into tonight, meaning into Wednesday night, then I'm going to cause some problems over just to distract it and also to show you the puniness of the areas that you're concerned with, these little world government fakes you're sending up. So they wouldn't let me go. They kept ringing. They kept calling me up all night. So I just said, let them go. Two earthquakes right in Turkey, right in Peru, right? Two of them the day Gorby arrives for a Wednesday conference and then goes to Washington and Bob's on the air. George, that's the Wednesday report for this week.
Yeah, so good idea not to piss you off.
Yeah, don't fool around because it's a metaphor. Earthquakes are nothing mm-hmm. compared to the electric earthquake that's happening. But they wouldn't lay off. And Gorby, see, Gorby works for me. Not a lot of his aides know this. You know what I mean? They don't. They see certain plans. They probably released the information to Havel that the revolution went further than they planned, but it didn't go further than Gorby and I planned. Now, Gorby, tonight we have something special for you. We're going to tell you why you're going to have an extended long weekend this weekend. And, Mike, you could get the next tape there. We're going to feature a reprise of the Exodus. This is the Exodus in September 1989. And this is a short little thing to remind us of what we're going to have coming up this weekend. This is momentous weekend. This is what the Exodus predicted. And this is what Gorby, who is here in Toronto, even though he's supposed to be in Washington tonight. He is certainly here, too, because the most traffic, air traffic, goes between Toronto and Washington. Just ask the people at the Washington airport. Corby, this is for you. This is what I briefed you with last summer, and then the exes confirmed it last September. This is what you're going to do this weekend.
Well, but publicly it will not be mentioned. Well, because officially President Gorbachev has not been welcomed. When that happened, oh, you see so many changes in this world, you say to yourself, I'm so glad I chose this life.
Mm-hmm. I missed the point back there. That would be so amazing. What was the meaning that would be? Would make us be glad we were born?
So many things happening.
So many things happening.
Once they get together?
Yeah, who were the two people who would get together? Yeltsin and...
Yeltsin and Bush meet. But the great thing is when President Gorbachev, not General Secretary Gorbachev, but President Gorbachev, visits the United States as a presidential level meeting, it will not be a short time. It will be very intense, very, very interesting.
Okay, that's... A reprise, for those who missed that years ago, under electric conditions. Now, Corby, here's a bit of advice for the problems surfacing over the next couple of years. You got the next tape in, the old Radio Shack mic? Side, you know, which side? This is a warning, and this is for those who missed the show 2 weeks ago. This is Herbert W. Armstrong revealing the pattern of the world-shaking event of the announcement of the United Europe. Coming up in the 90s. He broadcast this in 1984. Mike was impressed with this 6 years ago. Herbert W. Armstrong gave a warning for you, Gorby. This is what and why you had to meet at Malta and meet with the Pope last December.
Now, a very special world-shaking event is going to cause that great tribulation. It'll be triggered by a world-shaking event, and let me tell you, in the capitals of the world, and I should say of Europe, both Eastern and Western Europe, are secret conspiracies and talks going on right now. And it's not in the public press. The public media are not informing you because they don't know. But all of a sudden, the whole world is going to be shaken and startled in wonder when they see a tremendous great third world power burst forth, and that is going to provoke the Great Tribulation. Okay. I'll have to leave that for another program.
Okay, that's Herbert W. Armstrong, one of the Holy Offices at Club 22 in 1984. Now back to the local level. You notice another world-shaking event for the maritime extension of British intelligence in Nova Scotia happened mm-hmm. today. Did you notice something, someone that I might have something to do with?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of another story. I thought perhaps the drug haul.
Nova Scotia, that's old stuff.
I know upset a lot of people here.
Yeah, that's Reverend Stang's old operation that I ran, you know, 25 years ago, which those boys are still trying to get away with and they get caught. The local event that we have to deal with is Christine Hart. We all remember Bob made his amazing return high school reunion back to... Where was it? Nova Scotia, the drug capital of Canada, part of the Switzerland of the solar government. Anyways, back in Nova Scotia, Christine Hart made a faux pas at the high school reunion, which I did not attend, but my intelligence sources told me accurately what happened there. I came back on August 23rd, refreshed, mocked Christine Hart, which evoked the feminine as Queen Fatila? What's her name? Queen...
Fatila.
Latifah. Queen Latifah was talking about the feminine, the queen, on her show, New Music Interview, last Saturday. But some of the feminine aspect reared up in anger that night. Remember Sheila Gostick and a couple other people really attacked at Bob for whatever unknown perverse reasons they had of not understanding the fact I'm a woman. But Christine Hart was the object of my satire at that point. Well, today, Christine Hart resigned in ignominy. She resigned as Minister of Culture and Communications, handed in today, apparently some dirty work behind the scenes. I don't know. They just told me this. It happened. Christine, now you can either go new age, new left, new right, or new Bob. Bob's a woman. You know what? Come on over. Christine, we can work together. We didn't work together in high school, but now we can. You're freed. You've resigned. That's it.
Okay,
that's important. And I got some mail this week, Mike. I got some blackmail. Incredible blackmail money. It was not indicated what they want me to do for them with this money, but I got some what's called literary script. You ever seen this stuff?
No.
It's money. It's valid wherever the word is good. And the code on the envelope just said room 304, I think. No, room 302. It's addressed to Bob, Dobbstown headquarters address. No Bob Marshall. No Bob, the other Bob. No Bob Dobbs. Just says poison on it, room 302. And it's a bunch of money with Bill Bissett on it, D.A. Levy, Frank Zappa. Can be used anywhere. It's using the Ezra Pound principle of script. We can't go into it, but
okay.
I hope we can get a call tonight from who sent this to tell me what they want me to do with this bribe. Excellent money, useless, but powerful in its symbolic, shall we say, glass bead level of communication,
yes.
Right? Well, by the way, glass beads are little Newtonian billiard ball effect versus the process of Finnegan's Wake. Just a little reprise and update of that. We had a message from tonight from Belanger, right? We heard it, the guy in his radio sex guy, sex radio. Let's have some audio sex. Interesting.
The dating line.
Yeah, it's interesting that just when certain cataclysmic events happen at CKLN, more people offer their time to Bob. To Bob Marshall, maybe, to Bob Dobbs. But now we've got another programmer offering his time. This course could lead to his being banned from the station. But we thought we'd get our cards on the table. Another programmer, Sunday night, will be featuring Club 22 stuff.
Great.
All right. There it is.
Lots of room. Well, I just let's mention, of course, that we're talking about phones, that a few people have called. Do you want to take calls now, or are you...
Have you said everything?
I think I have. Yeah, I do have a little thing to read about. It provides more evidence that Bob is a woman. We can read that at any time.
Yeah, deal with that later. You've got the next tape set up, ready to go.
Yeah.
We don't play it yet.
But the number here is 595-1478, and I think if we can, maybe Bob and I have been talking and evaluating the last few years on the air. We would like to reach out and have tonight as a special, I don't know, what would you call it, an introductory...
Open to new callers.
Yeah, open to new callers.
New members.
If you're a regular caller and you call all the time, I don't know, we don't want to shut anyone off, of course, but we would like to reach out to those new callers, not to feel intimidated to call Bob.
But you were given the word on the street that many people want to get through, and they enjoy the regular callers, but they're not getting a chance to contribute.
That's part of it.
So
yeah.
The old callers lay off for an
just
hour.
Just if you wouldn't mind, and then we'll get to you if all else fails.
If the new callers aren't listening tonight.
There's the phone ringing already. You're listening to the Church of the Subgenius show on CKLN 88.1 in Toronto. My name is Michael Dyer with...
Bob Dobbs.
And why don't we go to the phones right now, Bob?
You're so comfortable.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
I haven't phoned in quite a while.
Great. You can stay on.
The last time I talked to you, you were talking about mythology.
Yeah, myth and logos?
Myth and logos, yeah.
Yeah. Did I talk to you about that?
Yeah. We had a conversation about that.
Yeah, that's on the first tape, too. You made the greatest hits. Yeah, you did. That segment was picked by Sean out in Bolton. So you're on there. So let's carry on from there.
When I tuned in tonight, you were talking about Meacher Lake.
Yeah.
And how it's sort of a...
was scripted.
I'm thinking of another word, but...
Okay, go ahead.
It sounds like a diversion.
Oh, yeah. But all diversions are homeopathic. Everything influences everything today, and that's why you can make mistakes and you just be just as effective as a true purist or revolutionary. So it is a digression, but it was important to anticipate the breakup of Canada to allow the opening for Gorby to be here. Haven't you noticed that every government that he visits collapses? Hasn't anybody noticed this? And that our government collapsed last week? You've never seen the adjective put in front of the now Mulroney before that adjective being shaken in headlines, have you? Shaken Mulroney. You ever seen that?
Shaken Mulroney.
Yeah, Shaken Mulroney breathes a sigh of relief. His plan is working.
Is that like Shake and Bake or something?
Yeah. Shakespeare and Roger Bacon. No, Francis Bacon, right? SCTV.
What is the purpose of it, though? I mean...
you want a purpose.
Yeah, I know.
What you mean is, what's your meaning? What's the relationship of it to you? Or the purpose for everybody or for you? I'd have to take two angles.
No, I mean, I was thinking this is a diversion for something else.
Yeah, the breakup of Canada.
Well, I mean, what is it trying to divert everybody's attention from?
From the fact that the British oligarchs, the European oligarchs, are taking over the North American regional economy. So they have to do it through Canada. So you got to break up Canada. That's why Quebec supported free trade. But they only did it because they can take advantage of the breakup with new business relationships that Ontario has, as a pink operation, Ontario has blocked. You know, the Church of England has blocked the Vatican for years.
Is it
Mulroney's a Catholic, right?
Sounds economic.
See, we're going to have, we're going to have nine nations in North America. Nine groupings. You can check out a book that came out in the early 80s. That's how far ahead it's scripted, which described the future of North America in nine groupings. And this gets the Ontario apparatus very, very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the former extension of both the Rockefeller and the European oligarchs in a diminished form under the thumb of America. But now, Canada reigns supreme in North America. Financially, not for the people. But what's good for us is that we can move around whenever, wherever we want on the whole planet. It's our playground now.
How is Canada financially more important than other countries, though?
Well, it's, as you know, it was announced about 2 months ago, which is all part of the Gorby operation. It was announced in the Globe and Mail that Canada was the main conduit for drug laundering in the world drug apparatus. Did you know that? That was in the front page. Did you know that?
Well, I mean,
Dope Incorporated. You see,
yeah,
that,
but
that,
I mean, aren't most banks involved in that, no matter what the country is doing?
Yeah, but they have a bureaucratic hierarchy, and Canada is the Switzerland of the solar government. So Canada has to be the major control point in the dope traffic. Now, as you notice, they're busting the dope dealers all over, right? Just like they busted the Nazis and the Mafia in the early 80s, they're busting now the Canadian operation as we will get. In other words, once you bust the Canadian Dope Incorporated hierarchy, Canada melts away. So the solar government dope apparatus now moves into what do you want to call it?
New Brunswick.
Hmm? No. That's Irving, old Rockefeller. Don't worry about that.
Well, no, weren't some Medellin guys busted in New Brunswick.
Yeah, okay, in that sense, well, that was just a beginning of the panic. They knew they were going to be busted, so they ran up here to deal with some of the connections and apparatus and the hierarchy. Right? You see how the events of the last 8 months make sense at this point? In other words, the problem with the Medellin dupes and lower-down working people of that cartel were servicing to them, obviously, and they were responding to larger changes that were going to come inevitably, and they did come. In other words, Canada was arrested. We've been busted.
Okay, what was I initially talking about?
You were wondering about Meech Lake, the meaning for you, the meaning for all of us. What's going to happen to Canada's economy?
Well, Canada as a whole.
It's gone. It ended May 22nd. Note the 22 number. At the age of 122. We are not, and this is as a media archetype, this is Canada that is a product of the railway and print media, newspaper media. That environment, that old hot environment, has been absorbed into the Baroque spiral of the cool media and the Baroque spiral of the hot media. Therefore, this is only a problem in the battle between the various media archetypes. Canada has been absorbed from the point of view of the other media archetypes. This has nothing to do with us. We've been freed anyways since 1945.
So you don't think it's a really big deal?
It's not for us, but it is for those media archetypes that were invested and those users of those media archetypes that identified with that investment in that media archetypal structure. So don't identify with the media archetypes. Maintain your slack detachment through understanding the whirlpool we're in.
What's the conclusion of this?
You're free.
The future? No, I mean.
But no problem.
No problem?
Yeah, understanding is all you need. The only constrictions on your freedom is to stay tuned to this show every 2 weeks and understand what's happened. I can guide you through that understanding. That's how you get slack, through the voice and concepts and percepts of Bob. And that's a fact. It's been proven for years here. We've been on the radio for 3 years, and those who have followed the outline of my understanding manual have benefited. So if you haven't been listening, that's your job.
No, well, I was listening for, you know, quite some time.
When was that? A year
ago? Well, yeah, about a year ago.
Yeah, you haven't listened the last 6 months, right?
At least 6 months.
Yeah, you missed the transformation of Mike, the transformation of many of our callers. This has been a very significant period, but you can catch up. We'll replay it for you.
What happened to Mike?
Well, he loves me now. You know, I mean, before he loved me, but he didn't know why. Now he knows why. He has understanding. Okay?
Okay.
If you have more things you want to talk about, call back later. You can get back in line. No problem. But generally, Mike likes to keep it to about 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
All right? So I'm sure you had a whole bunch of new questions to deal with, so you can call back.
I thought of some, but they sort of slipped by. But
Yeah, that's under the understanding effect of Bob, right? we x-ray those puny problems.
Okay.
Okay, if you're not satisfied, I'll at least touch up your x-rays, okay?
All right.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Whoa. Was that good? Fast enough, Mike?
Well, you know, it could have been a little more prompt, but that's
okay.
All right,
he's a new guy. He hasn't been on for a year.
So we won't call that a regular caller at all. It's somebody new. And,
yeah. Is there any more callers?
Of course there is,
Okay,
yeah.
take it away.
All right, we'll go right to next.
Of course there is, he says.
Hello. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
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 Bob.
Yeah.
What it is?
You.
Oh. This, I don't understand, well, I don't know your theories about Gorbachev, but I heard that he's a walk-in.
He's been walking around the planet.
No, he's a walk-in, like an extraterrestrial, sort of moved in slowly.
No. Our term for that is organic robotoid.
Right. Well, from Dr. Beter's description, it doesn't sound like the same thing. I don't know.
You know enough about Beter to know that.
Well, I was in a couple weeks ago.
All right, no. Organic robotoid is a chemical, biological, computerized operation. It's not an astral, spiritual walk-in.
But they have a short lifespan.
That's right.
So where's it going to be?
Who's going to be?
Gorbachev.
Okay, now, I didn't say that Gorbachev was a robotoid. I just brought up that phrase to see if you knew that, so then I can get back to your original phrase, walk-in.
Walk-in,
yeah.
i.e.,
Yeah, I understand what walk-ins are.
IEET, yeah.
Astral possessed. Now,
yeah.
with the electric spiritual environment, you just laugh at those words. They're the code words. It's trigger paragraphs of former homework, right? The electric effect makes the old spiritual astral plane content not behind the scenes but up front, walking around on the stage, the solar stage. So therefore, you have channeling and trancing and retrieving of primitive awareness, right? Okay, so walk-ins is what everybody is under electric conditions. We are all possessed. We are all channeling astral entities as a kind of work, a burning off excess and historical residue. Now, the opposite of walk-in, or the conscious walk-in, is the put-on. In other words, you put on the human environment, knowing you're not human, but you're a discarnate electric astral entity, not a physical astral entity, or the old nature physical astral entity. You know what I mean? You got that, right.
Yeah.
So Gorbachev is a put-on. He's not a walk-in. He's a walk-on. And he's scripted. And he's controlled. Beg your pardon?
What is scripted?
His role in his put-on activity here in the next 10 years is scripted by my associates on the Secret Council of 10. He is a put-on. He will survive. He is not a robotoid. The robotoids are the entities who were part of the old Rockefeller and Bolshevik apparatus. Gorbachev was part of the secret elite, secret hidden elite of Russia, known as the Skopsis. All right? They are not robotoids. They invented the robotoids, hijacked it, and then took over the Bolsheviks and replaced them with robotoids and some of the Rockefeller apparatus. The thing about Gorbachev is he has doubles, all right? So that's why he can be in Washington tonight and also be here listening in Toronto. Even though he can pick it up by satellite, he needs to be in Toronto tonight because he has to talk to me later in person, you know, later on, maybe around 5 or 6 this morning. If anybody wants to witness it, just come down to the station, follow me around tonight, 5 or 6, you're going to see me with Gorbachev at a certain point in Toronto. And that'll be setting up the plan for tomorrow's operations.
So what's his motivation?
What's Gorbachev's motivation?
Yeah.
To bring in slack.
To bring in slack.
Under my auspices, my definition, my sense of understanding. Do you know that Gorbachev is a McLuhanite?
No.
Okay, he's a devout McLuhanite. He has a trance. Now, his aides who don't know this, listening tonight, their ears are perking up right now as I say this statement. The statement is that he has a translation of every McLuhan book in his private office. Not the office in the Kremlin, but the office at home. Now, his aides are saying, what? Corby's a McLuhanite? They're saying that right now. We're feeling the response. All right? They're listening here in Toronto.
I'm too imaginative to pick up on psychic energy.
You are what?
Too imaginative, emotional. You know, it's not, I don't have a direct connection to that.
What you mean by emotional is that you're more involved in the electric environment. You're picking up the new psychic, the new complex clairvoyance, not the old psychic stuff. Don't worry if you don't pick up the old psychic stuff. That means you burned off the residue. You are sensitive.
Don't follow you.
It doesn't matter, does it?
No,
probably not. No. Yeah. Usually you should tape the stuff and then play it back later for the left hemisphere recall.
But yeah, it's all on.
Yeah, we're communicating right now.
Yeah.
Discarnately in the same spot, dancing, jiving. Now the what's his plan? His plan is to allow certain cobwebs of Rai. The cobwebs of Rai. Rai is channeled through cosmic awareness, the original separateness. Rai returned to essence in 1967 in February, probably around James Joyce's birthday, February 2nd, the 2-2 day of February 67. The cobwebs of Rai are all that's left of Rai. And the cobwebs are what we have to burn away through watching the media archetypes fight the Battle of Jericho. Now, the walls of Jericho are being toppled and rebuilt under Bob control with entities like Gorbachev and Madonna acting out their role.
Well, you're getting too detailed here.
Yeah, too much detail.
Too much detail.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, this whole thing about...
in other words, you want it in simple. You want five words?
No. Well, what I'm saying is, what's the motivation for the paradigm?
The paradox or paradigm?
The paradigm.
Paradigm?
Like you were saying about a few weeks ago,
The motive is to free you, not to turn you on, but to turn you loose.
Yeah, the power.
You. I mean, we freed you decades ago, but the problem is to get you to feel it.
Right.
And then once you feel it, which many people have felt for the last 15 years, understand what they feel so they can coordinate their left hemisphere and their right hemisphere.
Well, that's happening, right? I mean, there's a symmetry there in the brainwaves, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
You mean in the interval? The corpus callosum is the symmetry. The symmetry is the resonating interplay.
So I had a quote for you here. Do you want to hear?
You have a what?
I had a quote for you. Do you want to hear?
Okay, then we got to go. Let's hear the quote. Okay.
Final quote.
All right. The linchpin of the Western reality system is the split between heaven and earth that can only be bridged by an ascent structure, an ecstatic journey capable of traversing traditional space. Are you there?
Yeah, that's perfectly accurate. I think you should hold a press conference to say tomorrow and say this is what Einstein should have said.
Okay, no, but this guy's saying that that's the mistake. That's the fundamental mistake. The ascendancy structure, he's saying that we don't understand what our motivation is to ascend from the abyss that we're trying to avoid. Like, what exactly is it we're trying to avoid when we're creating all these new paradigms in this new world?
That's right.
What's the fear that's motivating?
That's right. We don't understand the process of making a cliche to archetype. That's why ordinary awareness is the most intense awareness now compared to visionary goals, objectives.
Mm-hmm.
That's another part of our dogma maybe you haven't heard me talk about. That's why I say you are free. Ordinary awareness is where it's at. We don't have anywhere to go.
Right. No, that's right.
I agree with your interpretation of that quote. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Call back.
Okay, CKLN 88.1 in Toronto, Church of the Subgenius Show. The calls are coming fast and heavy, and this is initiation night here at CKLN.
Yeah, new callers.
New callers, new faces.
We've been on the air almost 3 years, Mike, next month.
Gosh. Yeah. Let's go to the next call, Bob.
Come on in, Scott.
Nope.
No, it looks like. Did I say Kent?
Sorry, we lost the caller, Bob. He'll call right back. He or she will call back.
Okay, you want to bring something up? Come on in, Scott. You want to bring up what? You want to bring up about the woman.
Do you want me to bring it up now?
Yeah, because we don't have a caller, right?
Not right now, no.
Come on in. Yeah, this good call.
No, call's not there. Okay.
Okay.
I'll hang up. Yeah, I'll just read to you a bit from this segment. And this is more proof. This has been sent to us from our office in California. One of our many offices, very close to the Holy Office, and I thought maybe I could read this to you and to some of our skeptical listeners who aren't quite convinced that Bob is a woman. So I'll just read a few paragraphs.
Okay.
If you get bored, just let me know.
Yeah.
Bob takes off in fragmented flights of Calertra Dementia, then dives bravely to Basso Profundo grunts. The woman is a monument and a marvel. She is a force of nature. She materializes upon a stage, just sits in an ornate chair, and defies the observer not to be magnetized. Her eyes glare with intense zeal. Her shaven skull gleams with defiant pride. Her mouth curls in passion, mitigated perhaps by a trace of self-mockery. When she moves, she really moves.
Is it Madonna?
Her arms rise in arcs of formidable defiance, whisking away invisible demons. Her fingers flick profoundly mysterious messages into the air, along with prosaic scraps of paper. She recites a text that is sometimes intelligible, despite primitive microphone distortion. She keens, she croons, she roars. Robert has been around. She knows the secrets of melody. She savors the force of rhythm. She observes the limitations of form. She exalts in the dynamic fascination of theater. Now,
is that from one of the holy offices?
It's close to one of the holy offices, yeah.
It's quite poetic, isn't it? I didn't know that person was capable of that.
But that is literary proof that Bob is a woman, not just the proof that you provide every week. But
it's a testimonial.
Yeah, a testimonial of sort.
Translated into the old rearview mirror of a poem.
Mm-hmm.
We got any more calls?
Yeah, let's go to a call, see if we've got something happening. Hello, CKLN.
A name that's cropped up periodically, well, more than periodically, almost every week, has been that of Ivan Stang, founder of the Church of the Subgenius, and Ivan is on the line now from Dallas. Hi, Ivan.
Who dares interrupt the torpid reveries and visionary meditations of King Stang?
Have we caught you at a bad time? No.
These are bad times, my friend.
Oh, well, Ivan, as you know, we've had a...
roundabout.
Ivan, there's a fellow here who... came to Toronto, I guess, many months ago now, and claimed to be Bob. With some skepticism, I welcomed him into the studio, and he's...
another one, eh?
Oh, you've had more then, have you?
Oh, but between ever since Bob's alleged assassination, we've had so many people come forward claiming to be his heirs, his bastard sons, wanting to know about the will. We've had thousands claim to be Bob. But what I want to know, if this is Bob, where's my money?
Bob, do you have any comments on it?
Bob? Quote, Bob, unquote?
Hello, Ivan.
Yes?
It's been 6 years since September 17th, 1982, since we last talked. I've watched your meteoric rise in the alternative media, and I guess it's time for you to be dismissed from your activities, since any money you make is not going to do anything with my control of a secret council up
to 10. You claim to be Bob Dobbs himself?
Listen, Ivan, Doug, we know, and you know, and we... Well, look. Do you agree that you are in Dallas and in Toronto at the same time right now?
The vocalizations coming from the Stang entity may be heard in both places, yes.
And anywheres else?
Only Bob is everywhere at once.
Yeah, now you've fallen...
Where have you been? If you're Bob, why have you been tormenting us with your absence?
Now listen, you just said, now remember, this is a calm debate. Now let me have my piece. This is not Crossfire on CNN or any of those debate shows. Now look, you just said Bob is everywhere. Under electronic conditions, we are everywhere. Satellites can pick us up and broadcast us everywhere. So you're not only in Dallas and here, you are wherever else your voice is being projected. And it could be myriad of places on the planet under satellite conditions.
And under different time zones and different dimensions, I'm sure.
That's right, different dimensions. I've talked about this often on the show. Now, I call this state discarnate, a disembodied intelligence, all right? Now, this can only happen when you're live on the air. It only happens passively when you're not listening, when you're not using the electric media, and that includes the telephone. So, you say Bob is everywhere, then obviously anybody on the line on the electric situation is everywhere.
Bob, but the true Bob requires no strings or wires. He operates without any other puppeteer and can think your thoughts for you, whether you're listening to him on the radio or not.
That's true. But there's a new situation. In your book, The Subgenius, which is my files that you've absconded and juxtaposed in a rather collage effect.
Pardon me, but the true Bob requested that we rewrite his admittedly clumsy, rather awkward writings.
No, I didn't. I didn't do that. Now, the point is that what was left out of the book is all this knowledge about Discarnate. Now, since we are all Bob and Discarnate, the only one who would really be Bob is the one conscious of this fact. In other words, the inheritor of the knowledge of Finnegan's Wake. You have no reference to Finnegan's Wake or any of the media analysis.
For those who have eyes to see, it's all in there. Everything is in there.
Well, that's the point. This is your visual bias. You said eyes to see, and you also talked about Bob does not use wires or lines. Electricity does not flow along wire. It is a magnet. It is an electric erogenous zone, a tactile zone we are all involved in. So that any linear images like eyes, lines, and wires are inappropriate. But this is perfectly natural to an American whose whole republic was built on visual space via the printed press and Ben Franklin. Therefore, your bias is visual, and that's why it's awful hard for you to use other media besides the book and a bit of radio, but only on tape, I take it.
What? A bit of radio? A bit of books? My God, do you realize the word of Bob is being spread about the world by spray paint cans? Probably the most effective method of communication ever.
Puny efforts, puny.
Even more powerful, word of mouth, and by sexual harassment.
Yes, but the electric environment supersedes and subsumes any hardware, software, gadget. Therefore, to be aware of this fact...
For the pinks, it certainly does.
No. The pinks are unconscious of it. The subgenius I am trying to make conscious, and that's why I had to come to Toronto in 1982 after Dr. Beter's situation in the Battle of the Harvest Moon and then the first strike in September 82. As a result of winning that, and we now have the Christian faction of Russians... under Gorbachev leading and taking over the planet, I had to move to Toronto, the heart of the Bolshevik-controlled in the North America area, and no longer operate under Dallas, which was, as you know, controlled by the Rockefellers, who are now obsolete.
Friends, I'm afraid I can tell by this man's outdated notions that this is yet another false Bob. For does it not say in Prescriptures 8:14, there shall come false slack masters and non-prophets, and these shall be in the nostrils of the true Bob as the rotting of pig carcasses. Yet there shall be believers in them, for with every minute one is born. So...
Well, you showed him.
Yeah, that's it.
The infamous showdown between Ivan Stang and J.R. Bob Dobbs here on CKLN.
So appropriate for the Underground Summit, Mike. I bet you that's the segment they pick and play if they tape this, right? This has got taped tonight?
Yep.
So it's appropriate. I didn't know the Underground Summit was the host tonight, and I brought that in as part of the third-year anniversary.
Years ago.
Yeah, that had occurred April 13th in 1988, the week before our last show on Hitler's birthday in the afternoon, 4:30 to 6. Yes. We have any new callers? That was
Robert. There were some callers, but I think they were enraptured with what was going on. So
they'll be calling back.
Yeah, 595-1478. The Church of the Subgenius Radio Hour.
Reverend Stang, what's it like to hear that?
Wow, it's classic stuff. It certainly answered a lot of questions. People had wanted to associate the book and Stang with what was happening now. Some of your listeners who had
it clears it up.
Us. Yes, it does.
I was very precise, pithy, and compact, and got the message across, and even mentioned Gorby, which is the whole faction going on tonight, right, here in Canada.
We do have a call. Let's go to it. Hi. Hello, CKLN.
Oh, this could be one of the factions, Gorby's faction.
Just listening.
Yeah.
Let's try the other line then.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to categorically deny that there's any significance between the simultaneous visits to Toronto of Madonna and Gorbachev.
Can you prove that?
Why would you want to deny that?
I mean, I just want to categorically deny that there is any significance here. And in fact, the rumors that both President Gorbachev and Madonna are, in fact, members of the Illuminati is completely false.
Well, that's true. Do you know that entertainment's a military operation? And that Canada was defeated on May 22nd? So Gorby and Madonna, equally military operations. Equally entertaining.
Well, it's funny, because if you trace back Madonna's lineage through Cincinnati and back through Italy and her Italian ancestors, funnily enough, some of them seem to have belonged to a certain family in the south of France that it goes directly back to the Merovingian kings of the 7th century AD. And
yeah, the Holy Blood, Holy Grail, yeah.
Well, I don't know what to make of it.
In other words, someone has suggested to you a couple of facts that point that she may be an agent of the old Pink Illuminati.
Well, it's hard to tell, but like a virgin, I mean, you know, you take it from there and you get a little worried, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. But you're not.
The red stain on Gorby's head, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not quite the Habsburg lip, but it's...
What is your background, caller? Have you been to university?
Well, I'm, in fact, an ascended bastard.
Master, right? We got CRTC listening. Change
no.
that to master.
Oh,
yeah, we know what you said.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you get your high school diploma?
Well, yes, I did.
Do you make over $30,000 a year?
$30,000 what?
Good question. Dollars. Canadian dollars.
Not in Canada.
You don't work in Canada.
Well...
Are you educated?
What's your point, Bob? What are you?
I'm just trying another tack. Like it's a bureaucratic. I get a feeling this guy. He's quite knowledgeable. He's auditioning to be a member of the church. Maybe even come on the show occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just checking his background in a new, unique way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are you married?
Not currently.
See the hesitation. Have you ever been a communist?
No.
Do you want this job?
Well, which job would that be? I've just tuned into your show, and I find the allegations rather surprising.
Well, that's why we need new blood. We need new naivety. You know, at the collapse of the Middle Ages, going in just to the Industrial Revolution, the old oligarchs used 13- and 14-year-olds, right?
Well,
and
that's
to run the army.
Mozart said, but, you know...
Who said that? Who? Mozart?
Mozart, yes. Well, the piano was a plot.
Yeah, yeah. Left hemisphere digital apparatus, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, we need naivety in our new callers, our new input. You don't know anything about what's happening here. You claim to have never heard anything about this moment as is happening now to you before.
I'm completely void of thought.
Great. Well, you see, you're perfectly... We've been dealing with a lot of regular callers who perceptualize themselves back into concept, and we've been getting complaints. You say you're completely devoid of thought. Are you also devoid of your sensory apparatus?
Well, I'm lying down at the moment.
Are you devoid of your sensory apparatus? This is the final question.
I can't feel my toes.
Can you feel your head?
Yes.
Yes,
I can feel my head.
Is there an interval between where your toes, that phantom spot of your toes and your head, do you feel that resonating interval?
Yes, I do believe I do feel that resonating interval.
What would you call that?
The vibrator.
Does it have an electric quality? Yes, an electric vibrator?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes,
it
has an electric quality.
You're right. You're hired, buddy. Can you be down here in 2 weeks? Midnight Wednesday.
I could be down there in about 15 minutes.
Oh, come on down. Come on down. You're hired.
I don't think so.
They talk about unemployment. Another case. Offered a job. Turns it down. Yeah, go back to your welfare, buddy.
No. Well, that's okay. I just wish you could find out about this Madonna thing. I mean,
well, okay,
the allegations are being made, and I have no idea where they're coming from, but... They're there.
Okay, you say you don't know if they're real or not, yet your opening statement was, I guess, a fragmented probe, saying that you deny there is any connection with them to the Illuminati. Yet now you're saying you're wrestling with the possibility.
Well, as I'm sure you can know, a fragmented probe can be very painful.
Yes, okay, then you wish that to be, I see. Yeah, you wish what you opened with to be. I assure you...
Not necessarily.
There is no more Illuminati.
Well...
That's what Rai meant. When it returned to essence. We only have the cobwebs of Rai, and they're acted out in the media. They're acted out as images.
I once thought I met a member of the Illuminati, but I think he was one of the low-wattage kind.
The problem,
like the refrigerator Illuminati.
Yeah, but don't you get the point? This is a fact, a perceptual fact, that there is no Illuminati in human terms anymore. There is just the control evoked by archetypal mythic effects of the media interplay. Now, that's complex to say that to you for the first time.
It made my teeth hurt.
That's Frank Zappa's dental hygiene dilemma, you know, in 200 Motels. You ever seen that?
No, I haven't, no.
Check out the May 19th issue of Billboard, the design of the 25th anniversary issue done by Cal Schenkel. And he explains that the reason the cover album art of Uncle Meat was dental materials was because he inhabited a dental office in 1967 when he moved to Los Angeles to work for Frank Zappa.
I see.
Okay, we do have another caller.
See, the fact that I wandered away like that makes Mike want to cut you off. Cut me off, too. Maybe, don't take it personally. He wants
thanks
to cut me
calling.
Off.
Thanks for calling. Okay, we do have another call,
thanks.
Bob.
You're fantastic.
A good call. Yeah, I just want to point out we have a new, something new. We've, you know, we've been looking for new microphones and equipment in the station, and someone has donated a Hoover Turbo Duster Plus 30. And this is a nice benefit, a nice plus to have.
What do you do with them?
I'm not sure. Maybe just clean the records off? But anyways, I just wanted to point that out. Someone's
okay, the dust blows forward and the dust blows back.
Yes, we do know who that is. Yeah. The calls are coming.
Come on in, man. New caller, new edition.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Good.
You can tell by the hesitation these are new callers, right? Yeah, go ahead, baby. You thought this was a serious show, right? It isn't. So get serious.
I heard about the... I just tuned in at the Hoover there.
At the what?
At the Hoover.
What was that? Oh, you just tuned in right now and Hoover, called in? How'd you know the phone number? This guy's lying, baby. He's making my teeth hurt. How'd you know the number if you just tuned in? Go ahead, baby. You're on. You've got all of Toronto and Gorby's AIDS listening now.
Yeah. What is this about Gorbachev?
Just what I said. Where have you been? You've been reading the Toronto Star? You've been subscribing to McLean's magazine? Now in a quandary when the times have changed? What is it? The answers are blowing in the electric wind?
No, McLean's is a bad magazine, isn't it?
Yeah, the Church of England. The Church of England. Okay, what do you want to know about Gorbachev? He's not what he appears, other than what he seems to be.
Well, I mean, he seems to me like something that just sort of came out of nothing.
You're right, man. Yeah, well, nothing that you heard about, right?
Well, I mean, out of the...
I love that response. This is more innocence. This is the night of the innocence. You're right. Nobody will admit that Gorby did come out of nowhere. I mean,
he did. I mean,
you're right. And I'm glad to have you admit that massive perceptual effect, which nobody up to this point, including George, would admit.
Well, out of his predecessors, I mean...
Yeah, why? What happened?
Andropov or...
Brezhnev,
Chernyenko, or whatever.
Drop off. Jerzynski, you know, head of Cheka, you know, the original secret police.
What was the other guy's name? Chernyenko.
Chernenko, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to know why he's here? You know that
what
is.
What happened? How did he materialize?
Well, didn't you hear my little dialogue with Reverend Stang?
I was listening to that.
Yeah, remember I mentioned that Gorbachev, I don't know if I said Gorbachev, but I mentioned the secret Skopsis, the native Christian sect that inherited the Bolshevik victory in the Battle of the Harvest Moon when they knocked out the Rockefeller moon base. Do you know? Yeah, I know. Forget it.
No. That word Skopsis.
Yeah, you heard of it?
I heard of that.
Here's a guy who knows nothing about what we're talking about, but he's heard of the word Skopsis. Mike has listened to me for 3 years. He can't even remember what the word Skopsis refers to. You're fantastic, baby. Come on down tonight, eh? You're hired, too. Tell us what you know about them.
No, it's just that something that I've read or I've heard about, and...
You probably heard our show before and didn't know it was us.
No, when you said the word Skopsis, it sort of rang a bell, but...
I hate to get Jungian and easily Freudian, but young and easily Freudian from Finnegan's Wake, but do you think it's coming from your collective unconscious, the homeopathic work of Bob here in Toronto, that you're picking this up in your sleep, and that's why you know it? And that's why you've shown up, because you've met your maker, your matcher?
I don't know. No, it was just something that I think I've read.
Okay, so let's get beyond that fact. Yeah, you absorbed it. What do you want to say about them?
Well, what are the Skopskis?
Skopskis, S-K-O-P-T-I-S, Skopskis, maybe T-Z-I-S. The Skopskis are a Gnostic sect, much like where the Dukhobors came from in Russia, in the Soviet Union. I don't know, whatever they want to call it there now, right? Whatever they did call it. The Dukhobors, right. The old Raskolniki that Dostoevsky wrote about. You know Dostoevsky, the Russian, the writer? He wrote about the Raskolniki. Now, that is the Gnostic sect. The Skopskis are a particular harsh religious Gnostic sect, call themselves spiritual communists, that started about 250 years ago in Russia. Their hidden bond was castration. The high priests castrated themselves.
Wow.
And it took that kind of dedication and loyalty and secrecy. I mean, you couldn't be a member of that secret network, that secret little local Illuminati, unless you lopped it off, right?
Sounds like the Masons or something.
Yeah, close.
Except not as severe.
That's right. Now, this severity was necessary to hijack the world government, which was a combination, a complex clairvoyance set up by the Rockefellers and the Bolsheviks through most of the 20th century. The Skopskis helped the Bolsheviks kick out the Tsar regime, all right? They then hoped to improve Russia along their paradigm, but were hijacked by the world government in 1917 to 1919. They then stayed in harmony with the Bolsheviks and infiltrated for 60 years, lopped off the Bolshevik group that was working with Rockefeller around 1975, infiltrated the Bolshevik space, or let's say solar government apparatus. When the Bolsheviks destroyed the Rockefeller moon base, the Skopskis inherited the victory. And that's why, and that happened in 1977, and Dr. Beter, you can hear him here on CKLN, you can hear him on Kent Perry's show tonight, 2:30 or so. He's always on Kent Perry's show every 2 weeks. You'll hear the history of the last 10 years explained by Dr. Beter in his 80 tapes at the end of the 1970s. And he predicted that Russia, well, as a matter of fact, using his predictions, I was able to make an incredible interview in Los Angeles in October 1988, and I predicted the whole pattern of 1989, and I predicted the collapse of the Berlin Wall. This was all laid down by Dr. Beter and associates of mine, and the Skopskis were part of that hidden knowledge.
Who's Dr. Beter aligned with?
He was a free agent. Electric Autonomous used the tape cassette as art form, part of the cassette culture that Mike wakes up as his personal religion.
Mike?
Yeah, Mike, the other voice on the show here. Say hello, Mike.
Hi.
The cassette culture guru of Mike Dyer. He's known all over Queen Street and almost up to DuPont, not past St. Clair.
So he's not aligned with you?
No. Mike's just a willing accomplice in a conspiracy that he has created, manufactured, and you know what the next word is. Screwed up, you know? The thing is that Dr. Beter is, he's dead now. Anyways, you can hear the holy office.
May Russell.
You said you're sounding like you are one of these post 1 o'clock coming out of the bars kind of caller. A little bit of slur there. May Russell, you said?
Mape.
Mape Russell? Mape. Oh, yeah, you're one of the. Remember, Scott, those people used to think it was Mabe Russell?
Well, M-A-B-E. I did too.
Yeah, well, everybody did who wasn't in touch with Bob Marshall. It's May Russell.
Well, it's the liaison.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's your Quebecois, right? Your Quebecois, right? Yeah, it's a translation. But Mae Brussels' birthday was yesterday. She died 2 years ago.
It was yesterday, eh?
Yeah, when Gorby landed here, and that's part of the Skopsky symbolism. You know, the Gorbachev and his group, well, they love Mae Brussels.
They do?
Yeah, well, they used to use her information as a joke on Ronald Reagan to scare him. They knew it was kind of obsolete, not up to Dr. Beter stuff, but they certainly scared the Dickens out of Edwin Meese and those guys. That's why they had to kill May. You know, she was murdered 2 years ago.
Yeah, was she murdered?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because I'm Bob. As a matter of fact, I was in on the, well, you know, I won't say planning of it, but it was necessary what happened.
Yeah, but I mean...
You think I'm crazy? You think I'm lying? You're talking to a real murderer, an assassin. I made millions in World War II. I was the character of Milo's Milo Bender, whatever they call him in Catch-22, model on me. I was that little Aryan Nazi. Necessary, though, in the historical pattern laid out by Herbert W. Armstrong. Necessary to have this pattern laid out for me to be here, homeopathically regenerating your cell structure.
How do you know that the Russians are...
I like the way you ignore what I say. Great, keep going. How do I what?
No, I'm following you.
Yeah,
that.
Good, yeah, but you're making good. Useful.
How do you know that the Russians are interested in May Brussels?
Well, see, because you're talking to someone who informs and guides the Russians' media ecology using the tetrad. We're giving this guy a real collage of holy offices, aren't we? I mean, I'm giving you the church dogma here.
That's a new word for me, tetrad.
Is this what you wanted, Mike? I mean, the old regular callers are all falling asleep. They're saying, man, we got to go through the basics again. Well, a tetrad is... Mike, let's put Mike on the spot. What the heck is a tetrad, Mike? Mike's going to tell you what a tetrad is.
You've
give it a call,
that
Mike.
They make fun of Bob in the Church of Subunion. It's a very, very dangerous thing to do.
That's Mike's effort to explain the tetrad. I don't know how he did that. Isn't that awesome engineering? I mean, he just did it around the back with a bunch of tapes and you had that come in. That means it was not scripted. I'm scripted. You aren't. He isn't. Are you there?
Yeah.
The tetrad is a four-level effects of media. You take any environment created by man, extension through technology, it has four effects. The first effect is it enhances a particular sensory apparatus, internal, external, of man, all right? It then obsolesces a previous technological environment. Then simultaneously it retrieves a former technological environment and its characteristics in a new form with archetypal intensity that comes back in harmony or resonance with the new technological environment that was extended in step one. Step three is this retrieval factor. All right? For example, the medieval environment was retrieved in the 60s, along with primitive awareness, occult awareness, due to the effect of television. All these three processes then flip into the new apparatus, technological extension, or image mood. At this point, mythic archetypal retrieval, repertorical replay of the unconscious archetypal structure. This pattern is a flip point. It flips into that pattern which has the opposite characteristics of stage one, which is the original extension. That's the tetrad. That's outlined in the Holy Office of Marshall McLuhan in the book Laws of Media. Go over to the world's biggest bookstore and buy it. It's the Bible. It's what Gorbachev will be training his management specialists like they taught them Marx and Lenin decades ago. They're now going to be studying McLuhan's tetrad because Gorbachev's already using it in his negotiations with George Bush. How do I know this? It's up to you to find out.
I read one of his
I'm getting
books.
Tired, baby.
Yeah, okay, time for another call.
Okay. No, let this guy say one thing. Say your last
final,
words.
Final comment.
Yeah, final comment.
My final comment?
I feel like Barbara Frum.
Yeah. It was worth it.
Okay, thanks for calling. Let's go to another call. Bob,
thanks,
has a theme developed from tonight? Or
just new naivety, man. It's just comment. Let's understand the effects of this naivety now. We now have had the experience. Let's understand
it. It is quarter after one. Why don't we just open up the lines then? We've had a half dozen new calls tonight. I mean, I think I'm happy. I'm satisfied. And let's move on.
Okay, old callers back in line.
Hello.
Let's hear Dave. Bring on that attack video. That's the old silent guy always hangs up, right? Any others, Mike? I just like to say this, Mike, about spin doctors. I think that phrase is part of the...
Spin doctors?
You know that phrase, don't you, Mike? You know, Ed Buster's spin doctors. Let's bust the spin doctors. Spin doctors has entered the language, North American English language, I guess, as a slang term referring to new effects, to two new media effects. Now, what... If that is an index, slang is an index of the change going on due to the walls bashed between and interpenetrated by the archetypal mythic structures, then what is spin doctoring talking about? I think it refers to what I explained several shows ago, the hot spiral and the cool spiral. You think of a spin as a spiral. The spiral is a rearview mirror image. We know that the image of the tetrad, a kind of a pretzel DNA helix spiraled back on itself, is the appropriate image, not a simple spiral. So the spin doctors is a figure for the ground of eternal Battle of Jericho wall spinning. Ah, the heck with this notion. It's too hard to explain. I'm just working on it. Okay, Mike? Okay, we got a call?
No.
Oh, jeez. So I do have to work on it. All right. Oh, I do have a backlog. 2 weeks ago, Bob became the fifth element. We know we had Dave and we had Ray Green here. We're miming me in the old dialect between percept and concept, and it left me in a new element of mud, of fifth. What is it? Schizophrenia, quadrophenia? Quintophrenia. Thank you, Ray. Bob was stuck in quintophrenia. Well, it was after the show that I realized why this was happening. It was the fact that Tim Howe was in here videotaping me. Because we, for the first time, unbeknownst to me, brought in a video environment, it mutated the show. So the radio content was taken over by Bob Clones, and Bob was sitting there as the fifth element of mud due to the video environment. That is the explanation for any archivist who's been wondering and puzzling about that part of the show 2 weeks ago. There's the explanation. Video was the ground here at CKLN. There's that buzz. Oh, gee. Okay, Scott. Come on in, man, and participate. We have a caller in person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's let... I don't know if he wants to be identified. We'll call him Scott. Scott's the one. Okay, Mike, you know who this is? You noticed the afterglow? I don't know if he heard us talk about it 2 weeks ago. He's the one who was making love when Bob called.
Right,
remember
right,
that, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. How could I forget?
He couldn't forget. He couldn't answer it. Then he called the next. I called the next night, and he told me he knew it was me because he heard the tape 2 weeks ago. Scott, input any way you want. Be whoever you want. No, come on. You got to come in real close. They can't hear you. You should like get about right about there. Yeah.
I wanted to know if you're going to explain the new loony tonight.
The coin?
Yeah.
The new loony.
Yeah.
No.
Have you seen the crown? Have you seen the crown? It's weighing mighty heavy on her great head.
I think that's enough explanation, isn't it? I mean, you know, come on, keep moving in here closer. Yeah. There's no need to explain the loony, right? It's a lunar government. The queen? See, that's See, this is solar government here. The lunar government is the Illuminati, the Rais of Cobweb, set up by the Habsburgs and the Holy Blood Holy Grail. This Illuminati caller would be interested in this. The lunar government is a content image, rearview mirror, anesthetic for entities known as Canada or any other apparatus that hoiks it up. The lunar government is what the pinks are involved in pretending as a genuine fake is a structure they're involved in right now. So, the loony is emblematic of the lunar government, and thanks for bringing it up, because I've never explained the phrase lunar government in reference to the solar government and the preceding world government. Yeah, go on. More stuff. Why don't you tell us about eco-fascism, Scott? Come on.
Eco-fascism. It's just beginning to frighten the hell out of me. Sorry, CRCC.
Yeah, no, this is someone from direct experience with the ecology movement, and big mistake. He got involved with the environmentalist movement through most of the 80s, and he's now here to repent. Let's hear what you learned now about the essential concept. Contacted me. What are you learning about the environmental movement that makes you upset?
Well, why don't we start with the phrase sustainable development?
Oh, yeah. You kicked that one out. Zero growth again, right?
Or why don't we trip around to entrenched environmentalism, people that aren't working to put themselves out of jobs.
That's right. They're not media ecologists. They're not going on strike. All right, yeah?
I don't know. It's so frightening, and I don't know what I can say here and now.
You can say anything as long as you don't swear.
Right.
You know, we are that pink here. We do have that element of pinkness.
Well, I just want to do my best to warn people now that ecofascism is coming down the line.
And what would you now support, LaRouche?
No, I haven't had enough slack in the last week to check LaRouche yet.
Well, listen, I can give you a copy of his new book, and it's called In Defense of Common Sense. In Defense of Common Sense, an awesome mathematical, physical time-space geometrical exploration. And it explains the evil behind Greenpeace and the environmental movement that all of us TV heebie-jeebies were seduced into due to the tactile effect. Not me, but I mean us, the pink and all of us, right? I mean, even some guy used to work on the Central American News Show, Eric. He called in one night and he was very upset about 6 months ago why Vanderzam was hoiking up ecofascism, or he didn't have that phrase, but the ecological movement. See, the subgeniuses in the ecological movement know there's something amiss when the devil takes over ecofascism, right? But this was all anticipated by Lyndon LaRouche, and despite what any of your buddies tell you about Lyndon LaRouche, he's a wonderful person.
Well, here
I go. Oh, you know what? He's going to be interviewed. Kent Perry's going to play Bob Marshall's interview with him in 2 weeks for 4 shows, half-hour installments, 2-hour interview with Lyndon LaRouche from his jail cell a year ago. So if you listen to that interview and tape it, you can learn a lot. Speed up your... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it's just about LaRouche. I mean, anyone that's universally vilified without anyone studying his material, you got to start wondering about it.
Yeah, he's, for our previous caller, he's as mysterious as Gorbachev. Gorbachev came out of nowhere, runs the world, LaRouche put in jail for no reason. And for people don't know why, other than the credit card fraud. And we know that spin doctors. Ah, I'm remembering what I wanted to say about spin doctors. Yeah, spin doctors is the software environment that moves all the hardware environments. In other words, the words, the news images make the environment. Now, the news images are advertising. And advertising. So spin doctors are imagery. Now, I've lost it again. We were talking about LaRouche. Something about LaRouche. He comes out of nowhere. He's an image that has to be imprisoned.
Handle on what happened in the
where does that lead us? Can you fill me in? Follow me. Lead me. Yeah, just Dr. Spinoff. And remember, Rim Spins is the essential code word in McLuhan's book, Take Today.
He's a racist. He's rich.
He's Nazi. He's anti-Semitic. For example, here's some LaRouche information. Everybody's wondering why Mike Milken, is that his name? Michael Milken got busted, got fined, the largest fine in history. He got fined $600 million for destroying the American economy through the 80s. And we know from Dr. Beter that the Bolsheviks hijacked the Rockefeller Empire in the late 70s when they were kicked out by the Skopjes out of Russia. So, therefore, the junk bond is the economic spin doctor. In other words, the concept of an economic recovery is an economic news, image, advertising, economic hardware recovery. It's a hot media spiral, a Baroque spiral. It's a spin, right? So doctors, it's media therapy, media ecology in a pink cancer-causing level. Now, Michael Milken was the main front man, the main media image for that. Look at who his associates are, and this is for Gorbachev's aides who are listening, who would know who these people are. The people who set up Michael Milken were Carl Lindner, Saul Steinberg, Meshulam Rickless, Lawrence Tisch, Nelson Peltz, Victor Posner, Carl Icahn, Fred Carr, Thomas Spiegel. I'm just putting these names out. There's no time to go into it. The point is that these were the characters that pumped out the paper that fed the economic recovery, and the paper was based on nothing. So they hoiked up the hot medium of money, spun it through the various media archetypes, creating the illusion of motion, then interpreted by the specialist verbal commentator called a spin doctor as a phenomenon to say, yes, now I know this isn't making much sense at this point, but we're working on new dogma here. I mean, this is taking weeks, but the spin doctor verbalizes what Michael Milken then did like in spinning the media money environment. Here, but, it was spun, but, like a spiral.
By you.
All right, so Scott, this is stuff that, you know, you have to get a handle on, right? Before you come back and work at CKLN in the news department, right? Did you go to an audition?
No.
Yeah, this guy was thinking of auditioning for a news director, but he's going to study LaRouche instead. Okay, I hope somebody who hates LaRouche is listening and saying, I'm going to kill Bob. It's about time we killed me. This show's been going for 3 years. Don't you think it's long enough, Mike? Don't you think I've educated enough people?
Yeah, this was brought up last night at the staff meeting that somebody would kill probably me, thinking that I was Bob. But I'm ready for that.
Okay, you ready to kill me when I give you the orders? We have a call, Scott. Thanks for filling in. You're a great spin doctor.
Hi, CKLN.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, is this Dublin?
Yeah, that's me, Bob.
Yeah, right, the last caller.
I just had an insight what you mean by spin doctor. It's an entity, not a person, but an entity.
Yeah, an image, a software unit.
Like, you know the idea of a computer virus, a tapeworm program?
Yeah.
It's a piece of software that moves down the line, gets in over your phone, then it gets into your hardware as a piece of software, and it moves around a piece of software among the software, eating the software, destroying it.
Awesome, Dublin. Awesome. I couldn't say anything better than that.
It consumes the software and defecates out useless bits behind it as it goes. Now,
Dublin, you've been doing your homework. That is so appropriate. We're going to have to stick what you said. Jim and the boys are going to have to stick that on the next tape. That is what I'm trying to talk about. Because Fragments with Bob is computer virus. Let's kill this virus named Bob immediately.
Well, Bob.
But Dublin, you're going to have to call back. I think Mike's got someone else. Rest your case. You've said it. There's nothing more. You're participating. You made sense. You helped me make sense tonight. Thank you, Dublin.
Mike is a spin doctor to
cut him off.
Canada.
Cut him off, Mike. We're going to a next. We got another caller, Mike? Yeah.
What do you think of the possibility that Mike is a la the Manchurian candidate, a plant who will be activated by a computer virus to kill you, Bob? Jump right down your throat and delete you.
You're right. I mean, these guys, this is so fast. This is mathematical. These guys are equating with me immediately.
It's not mathematical. I practiced this 23 times.
Oh, we'll cut this guy off. Cut him off, Mike.
He was at the wrong number. He hasn't been listening long enough. We got another caller?
No.
Okay, keep him on. Is he still there?
He's gone.
We cut him off. Okay.
He can call back.
Okay, call back. Bob has changed. Bob's just been replaced. Oh, Ray. Ray came down. Ray has something to say.
Ray is now switching to red. This is red.
Oh, a red characteristic?
A few minutes left in the show.
Okay. Yeah, we usually try to finish by 1:30, Mike, so we can get it all in one take.
We're no longer green. We're red.
Yeah, tonight we're violent.
The first Ray, the crown shot.
You got to talk loud, Ray.
Red.
The crown chakra, the lunar image, right?
The solar.
Okay,
image.
All right. How many minutes we got, Mike?
First ray of will.
We got 2 minutes,
power.
Ray. Ooh, Ray, you
special
gotta make this fast.
Virtues, strength,
I think we have to cut you off, Ray. Anyway, descriptions. This is all concept.
Truthfulness arising from absolute fearlessness, power of ruling, capacity
Ray
to grasp great questions in a large-minded way. And
we have another caller, Ray. Keep talking. Let's take the call, Mike. We gotta jam him in. Yes, caller, you're on. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, what do you think of this plot to Hayeko Fashion?
British
Columbia to sabotage the logging operations there.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah, that's what we think about it.
Well, that's why the portrait of the Queen was changed, so it would make for easier entry into the Douglas firs.
Yeah. Volvo power.
Well, that's what I heard anyway.
Yeah, and you're right. You heard right. Rumor rules. The spin doctors are rumor mongers, right? Rumor mongers is fact. Fact makes the money go. Money keeps Bob wealthy. Bob keeps on CKLN as a homeopathic tiny operation.
Have you got a new Mike yet?
Yeah, he's got cancer. Mike may be disappearing within 3 weeks. Probably going out to Vancouver with his wife.
Has he disappeared up that vacuum?
Yep. He's in the resonant interval.
Well,
he's getting ready to put on Jim's song.
Glamours of the Red Ray.
Yeah, I love this caller, man. Everybody's fighting tonight.
Pride.
This is summit.
Selfish ambition.
Go ahead, caller. Don't back off, caller. Put your input in it. Say your stuff, caller.
Takes the kingdom of heaven by violence.
Takes the kingdom of heaven by violence. Put that song on. Let's go up to Jim. You got that original song? This is a lovely theme. Good night, folks. We'll see you in two. Not that song, but okay. Put any other song on. I don't care. Rev it up. Sorry, Jim. I loved your album. I loved your third album, Bob.
Bobby, I love your album.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. And then we're, I guess we'll call that our third anniversary show. I think it's about January 13th, Mike. That's yours, Mike. Yeah,
that's
you can
fine.
Put that anymore. No, keep that going. If you don't
this
you like
okay?
the song, I don't know if it's any good. Maybe stop and put
music
that.
On here. No,
yeah,
not.
Let's hear that song. You know,
not from here though.
No, from the white album. The white one. The one that says the white one. Side A with the label that goes on. Okay, cut that theme
try
song.
Try again. So this is now the end of the show.
Yeah, now the end of the show. Thanks, Ray. Fantastic sax solo there. Audio sax from Ray.
1:30.
Listen to Kent in two
time
in an hour.
Yeah, see you, Ray Scott.
Yeah, thanks. Lovely.
Not really Scott though.
Okay, Gorby, you can go home now, and I'll see you around 5 or 6 tomorrow up at St. Clair and Bathurst.
Are you taking personal calls now?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I take them all week long. Like,
you do?
Yep.
Okay.